welcome to minute 29 of season 10 of Movie Our Minute, the daily podcast, where we hijack our way through the 1974 action thriller, The Taking of Pelham 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Bubbly from It's Time to Rewind. Welcome back, Bubba.
Happy Thursday.
Yeah, just watch out for that third rail. happy Thursday to you. So minute 29 begins with the engineer, shouting out instructions and, ends with, Kaz can't believe, Denny. Can't believe it. Can't believe it. So we ended things, yesterday with Kaz, walking down the tunnel and seeing a light in the distance that starts getting closer and closer to him. And we continue with that shot today. And we can hear in the distance Denny Doyle speaking. Did you notice who the actor was who plays Denny Doyle?
No, I didn't catch that one.
His name is James Broderick. Does that name ring any bell?
Nope.
Do you know any actor named Broderick who might be related to him?
Put it that way, I'm guessing Matthew Broderick.
That is correct. It's Matthew Broderick's father. So he plays the engineer, Denny Doyle. And he goes, on the left now. Watch out for that third rail. On the left now. And Kaz passes through them and is in complete shock. And he goes, what the hell is this, for Christ's sake? And, you know, again, I love Kaz. I think he's a great character in this movie. As you've pointed out numerous times this week, he's very New York, like Coral and some of the other people. So, you know, it helps with the feeling of the atmosphere of these characters, that they belong in these places. I like the way that they do that. And, you know, Kaz is just a no-nonsense guy. He just wants to make sure that everything runs as smoothly and as efficiently as possible. I like the way that Tom Petty plays this this character in a very realistic feeling way. The way that the whole thing happens, and then the shot changes and we're actually back on the train itself. And Mr. Blue walks out of the cab and looks out at everybody and goes, your attention, please, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure the more intelligent of you have worked out what's happening. You're all hostages. Now, I gotta say, I've seen this movie dozens of times, and I never caught that line where he says that the more intelligent of you have worked out what's happening. That's really a slap in the face to most of these hostages, my assumption is. You know, but just by the way that he says it, basically saying you're just not very smart, so you aren't able to figure out what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mother screams, "Oh my God!" And the hostages start speaking speaking to one another, you know, saying different things. We have the co-ed say, "Isn't that wonderful?" And then someone else goes, "Hostages." And then the old man goes, "What did you think?" Yes. I love the character of the old man. You know, and it shocks me every time that I see him to realize that this actor is only 60 when this movie was made. So the makeup department did a lot of work on him.
Or he's just, you know, somebody that's you know, aged a lot faster than, you know, a lot of people do these days.
But he's like the opposite of Benjamin Button. Michael Gorin, the opposite of Benjamin Button. The anti-Benjamin Button. How's that? could be. Could be. Yeah, what did you think? Yes? And then Blue continues and goes, I say, when we get what we want, you'll all be released unharmed. Until then, of course, you'll continue to do precisely as you're told. So, I mean, it's, first of all, it's another great way for them to highlight some of these hostages so that we get more of an idea of who's who on this train, just by their reactions and the way that they're playing the stuff. I wonder how much of it is supposed to be ad-libbed by the characters, of how they're how they're reacting here. But I'm not sure. Could go either way. It could be that this is
Yeah, it's
all completely in the script, and it could also be that they said, okay, you're a co-ed, pretend you're a co-ed, and let things flow. Like later on we'll have one of the co-eds is doing like a yoga exercise or something like that, to calm our nerves by doing the and things like that.
yeah.
And it makes me wonder if that's something that was in the script, or they just said, okay, what do you want to do? And she's like, hey, I'm a co-ed. That's what I would do at this point. I don't know.
Yeah, and it does definitely seem that like they almost went out of their way to have like a full cross section of different types of people that would be riding the New York subway.
That's true. That's true. It is very eclectic. No question about that. They even give us a little shot here of two of the Spanish hostages. They both talk to one another in Spanish, but we have no idea what they're saying.
Yeah, because we have the woman that's only speaks Spanish and doesn't understand English very well, and then we have the multilingual man that
Right.
does the translation.
Correct. But again, we don't know what it is she's saying in this particular predicament. And then the old man steps up and goes, excuse me, sir, what's going to happen to us if you don't get what you want? Now, I gotta say, he it's pretty gutsy to ask that kind of a question of a hijacker. Like, what are you gonna do with us if you don't get what you want? Isn't that sort of an obvious answer?
Well, I mean, I think it's obvious. Well, I'm not sure if it, I'm trying to put myself in the mindset of where we are in this movie to know how, if in 29 minutes, if we know how serious the the four gunmen are yet. Which I don't think we are quite yet. I think it's really like in the in an upcoming minute whenever they deal with Sal, whenever we really see how far they're willing to go.
Well, again, the question of how far, who's willing to go? Because I mean, that's one of the things that this movie deals with, is all four of these hijackers are very different in their reactions and the way that they deal with it. So, the way that Mr. Brown is going to react and the way that Mr. Gray is going to react, and definitely the way that Mr. Green is going to react, are so different than the way that Mr. Blue is going to act, the different things. And again, I mean, there's a spoiler alert of what's going to happen next week. Mr. Gray does overstep his bounds a little bit. So, that's the question. What is their plan, and what changes their plan along the way, that type of thing, from that perspective. But yeah, we can see that the hostages are starting to get a little more concerned as to what's going on here, with the way that everything seems to move along for them. And I love the way that Blue responds to him, because the old man said, excuse me, sir, and so he responds exactly the same way. It's similar to what Kaz said yesterday, to the conductor. Who's asking? So here it's, excuse me, sir, we're going to get what we want. Which it's a nice way for him to basically say, you don't want to know what's going to happen if, or you can read between the lines as to what will happen if we don't get what we want. That's closer to the whole.
Yeah, I think again, going back to Robert Shaw, he the way he acts as Mr. Blue really paints a complete portrait of a character and who that person is.
Exactly. And I mean, that's actually great, because it plays things out in ways that you don't necessarily expect. and you don't know what that I think that is one of the wild cards here. The fact that every one of these four hijackers are so very different and they react so differently to everything that's going on, and therefore you think that they should be more cohesive than they really are.
Yeah, although kind of thinking back about it, I'm not sure if it's, if I just didn't pay as much attention to him or if he is kind of the short man out, but I feel like Mr. Brown doesn't get quite as much characterization as the other three.
No, because he's also the silent guy, because he's got a stutter, so he has less to say and do at that point. Are you familiar with the actor who plays him?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Okay, so he's played by Earl Hindman. Have you ever heard that name?
The name sounds vaguely familiar, but I
Did
can't
you
place it
ever
right now.
watch the TV show Home Improvement?
Yes, I did. Oh, yeah, he was Wilson.
That's right. He's Wilson. There you go. I've always been shocked whenever I notice that this is Wilson. It's great. I like the way that they do that. But it makes sense as to why he's not necessarily going to be as verbal as the others from that perspective. And because of the way they create the character. Which makes sense. And then they leave us on that note of Blue basically saying, well, we are going to get what we want. Very confident. Nice way to you see, in a lot of movies which deal with hijackings and stuff like that, you have the villain being somebody who really is unstable. But Mr. Blue is not unstable at all. He's in perfect control as to what's going on and what he wants to do. And I like the way that they show that. And then the shot changes, and we're back with Kaz. Trying to wade through all of these passengers that are here, trying to figure out what it is that he needs to do. And he just he screams at that Denny Doyle and goes, "I don't give a damn what they were armed with." And he goes, "They're gonna kill me, for God's sake." He says, "You're like the captain of the ship. You're supposed to go down with it." Which is a great way. It shows that Kaz is all in on the whole idea of working at the railroad. Like, this is his life. So what do you think, where do you think the tradition of the idea of the captain going down with the ship comes from?
I mean, I know I hear that a lot whenever you're looking at watching period movies, I think. Well, although I think it shows up more in, at least from my experience, in parody and fantastical period movies. But I would think that it would go back to like the 1400s or earlier.
Okay. It doesn't go back that far, but it basically is connected to acts of chivalry, because they connect it with the motto "Women and Children First," which the idea was that if something happens on the ship, for you first get as many people off as you can, being that the captain should be the last one to leave, and if he can't get everyone off, then he is just going to stay there. And sacrifice himself, from that perspective. There is a famous case from 1852 on the HMS Birkenhead, which what they did was is that many of the men on board drowned because they first wanted to help save all the women and children by evacuating them first, and they didn't manage to get off in time. And obviously, a perfect example of this also is the Titanic. Everyone who's seen the movie Titanic or any iterations of the Titanic, you have the idea that Smith, Edward Smith, stayed on board and gave up his life because the captain must go down with the ship, type of thing. There is a Rudyard Kipling poem called Soldier and Sailor Too, which discusses the valor of men who stood at attention and played in the band as their ship was sinking. So it fits in a little bit with that whole thing. So I actually have a pretty long list here of a whole bunch of ships that that went down, and where there were where the captain decided to stay on board. And so we it goes all the way back to the list goes all the way back to 1840, the 1840s. But obviously, I'm not going to go through all of them because that'll be just a little too much to go through the whole thing. So obviously, one of the most famous ones here, as I mentioned before, was the sinking of the Titanic. Then during World War I, there was a ship called the HMT Aragon that was torpedoed. And basically, they lost 610 men from the ship, and they had there was an escort that was also helping them, which was able to rescue another 700 men from the ship. But the captain, whose name was Captain Francis Bateman, perished with the ship because he wasn't able to get everyone over. And so he stayed there and ended up. Apparently, they say that his last words were that he demanded an inquiry as to why he was ordered out to sea after he was in a safe channel. Yeah, not really something that you want to deal with. So during World War II, there are tons of examples. So we're not even gonna go through any of those. And in our, on October 29th, 2012, they had a replica of the HMS Bounty, which was called the Bounty, and the Captain Robin Walbridge, stayed on the ship until it capsized during Hurricane Sandy. The captain died, and as did one other crew member, and there were 14 crew members that made it to the life rafts that ended up surviving it. And then the final example here is actually from 2015. So I guess that's a good sign. That it doesn't get closer, it doesn't get closer in time to us here. So you have a, there was a cargo ship called the El Faro. So the captain, Captain Michael Davidson, was they have recordings of him ordering people off the ship, but he was never found because he was still in the bridge when the ship ended up sinking. Interesting. It's interesting that Kaz makes this connection here and says to him that you're supposed to be a captain, like when you go down on the ship. So, and that's how this minute ends. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Nope, that's everything.
All right, excellent. So, we will first, before we get to the Name That Remake game, we will play today's daily segment, which is a trivia game from movies from the 1970s. So I'm going to randomly give you five different movies, movie trivia questions from movies from the 70s, and we'll see. Hopefully you're going to get them all. That's my hope here. I can hope that, can't I?
Yeah, you can hope that doesn't make it true, but we'll
Okay.
see.
All right, so let's spin the wheel. We're spinning the wheel and see where it's going to get. Okay. There's a Okay. What famous actor lobbied to get the part of Don Vito Corleone and was even willing to lose a great deal of weight in order to get the role? But Francis Ford Coppola, who had to turn him down because he really wanted Marlon Brando in the role.
I feel like I've actually heard this bit of trivia, but
Well, maybe you were listening to the Godfather Minute and they and maybe Alex
I
talked about it. I don't know.
I haven't listened to that one. Although I have seen the first Godfather movie, but only the first Godfather. I still haven't seen the second one.
Well, we're talking about the first one, so that's already a
Trying to think. I'm certain this is wrong, but this is just the only name that comes to mind right now, Dom DeLuise.
yeah, I cannot imagine Dom DeLuise in that role in any way, shape, or form. Pun intended. No, it's Orson Welles. Orson Welles. All right, so let us spin the wheel again to see what the next question will be for you. And the wheel spins, 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 spins. And as it slows down. Okay. In the 1975 movie Jaws, what is the orca?
The Orca is the name of the ship that they're sailing out. That's they think is too small for the shark that they're going after.
That's correct. It is the boat. Very good. See? You didn't knock yourself. You know some 70s trivia. All right, let's spin again for the third question. Let's see what is going to come about now. Okay, what 1978 film was a reimagining of The Wonderful Wizard of Oz with an all African American cast?
That's the whiz.
Yes, it is. That is a terrible, terrible movie. Have you ever seen it?
I've seen it more than once. I think I actually watched it within the past 5 years.
Okay, fair enough. So you have it fresh in your mind.
Yeah, it's bizarre, definitely bizarre at times.
Ease on down the road. All right. So let us spin the wheel again. So far, you're two for three. That's pretty good. Considering you told me that you're not going to be good at this. So I'm impressed. I'm impressed. Okay. I can say already that there's no way you're going to get this one. but I'll try. I'll try. Okay. In the 1975 film, Give 'Em Hell, Harry. What famous president does James Whitmore play that made him the only actor in history to ever receive an Academy Award nomination for a film with a cast of just one?
What president did he play?
Yes.
Harry Truman.
Very good. There you go.
Not too many presidential Harrys.
No, that is true. That is true. Again, I was I'm assuming you've never seen it. It happens to be an amazing one-man show, but I've seen it twice. It's really, really great. Yeah, I mean, you know who James Whitmore is, right?
The name sounds familiar, but
You've seen Shawshank?
I've only seen a bit of Shawshank.
Oh, okay. Because he plays Brooks. And I guess that doesn't help. All right. All right, so let's go for the final one. And the wheel spins around. Okay. What movie had the most Oscar wins throughout the 70s?
Throughout the 70s. I'm gonna guess The Godfather.
Nope, but you got the right year. It was in 1972. The Godfather only won like three Oscars. It didn't. The Godfather 2 won six. The Godfather only won three Oscars: Best Picture, Best Actor, and Best Screenplay. But again, it's the same year as The Godfather. It's a movie that won eight Oscars. Just to give you an idea, The Godfather won three, and this movie won eight, and The Godfather still won Best Picture.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, Cabaret.
Yeah, I don't, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, so you still got 3 out of 5, so you're in the plus.
Better than I thought I was gonna do.
There you go. Isn't that always the best way to do these things? To was it trying to think of the phrase, expect nothing. I don't remember. I don't remember the phrase. Doesn't matter. All right. Once again, play the daily game of Name That Remake, and we will see what movie remake comes out for Bubble Eat once again today. So we're gonna spin the wheel. We're spinning, 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 spinning. Let's see what comes out. And keep spinning and spinning. Okay, so the original came out in 1958 and the remake was in 1988. Okay, any guess yet?
Nope.
An alien life form lands on Earth and starts destroying everything in its path.
58 and 88. Let's see. 88's too soon for War of the Worlds. I think it's too soon for Plan 9.
They remade Plan 9.
Yes, they did.
Oh, okay.
I think it's just called Plan 9. I don't think it's not Invasion of the Body Snatchers, because that was 70s and 2000s for those remakes. The Blob.
Excellent. Nicely done. Nicely done, Bubba. All right. Excellent. So, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Bubbly?
Sure, as listeners can probably tell, I have a lot of different projects going on. And my current longest running one is the one that I get introduced at as every day this week, and that is It's Time to Rewind, where I take a look at time loop movies and TV episodes, and I break them down one loop at a time. And actually, today is the start of my brand new season, September 18th. Which is a very important date for the movie that I am covering, which is Happy Death Day and Happy Death Day to You, which except for the final scene, the entirety of Happy Death Day takes place on September 18th. So of course that's when I decided to start the seventh season of this show. So look forward to that, and I've got at least one cast interview. I've talked to Rob Mello, who plays the serial killer John Toombs, and that'll air in between the two movies. So that's fun, and potentially more, but that one I already have recorded, so that one's definitely going to be showing up. And he was a fun guy to talk to. So I'm and both of those are really fun, like horror comedy movies that I enjoy both of them.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'm looking forward to having my stint on it also. As you know, I'm not a fan of horror movies, but this is a horror comedy and it's a lot of fun and it's time travel,
And it's
so.
PG-13, so that's
No, I
it's
don't care about
not
that. That's not the thing that I like time loops, as you know, and time travel and sci-fi and all that stuff. So that works well here.
But it's not overly gory either.
No. All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So, Bubba, you feel like coming back again tomorrow to finish off the week?
I think I can manage it.
All right. Excellent. So, until tomorrow, choo!
Kasunhai.